It's an ill mind that's still time build and refine. Still getting mine in the 9 at 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 9 getting mine in the 9-9-9-9-9-9. Building refined, still getting mine. Geometric, 9-9-9.
Charging,
9-9-9.
Stylus Chris,
9-9-9. DJ has one, 9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-9-
press it down, you heard?
Welcome, everybody. My name is DJ Geometrics. It's Monday night, 9 p.m. We're back with the 9 at 9 DJ podcast, the only show on the interwebs where we have nine DJs on a roundtable panel discussing today's DJ topics. This show is brought to you by Beat Refinery DJ School at Bachtarok. Learn how to mix, scratch, and make music by visiting beatrefinery.com. We have school locations across the nation. We have a great show for all of y'all here tonight. This is episode number 12. We all know that most DJs around the world haven't been able to get back to DJing in real life in front of people due to the pandemic. But hey, life always finds a way. There's a lot of DJs are now staying relevant and keeping themselves in front of many, many eyes and ears by DJing on the live streaming platform called Twitch. So for tonight, we have some of the best DJs that are doing really well on Twitch right now, and we'll talk to them about their experiences with live streaming. But first, let me introduce the rest of the crew, my co-hosts. We got DJ As One.
What up? Welcome back, guys.
Yeah. Next up, we have Sean J.
Hey, yo, Baltimore represent.
And finally, I'm going to pass the mic off to Stylus Chris. Take it away.
What's up? Thank you, Gio. What's up, everybody? We are back with another installment and excited to have these fine gentlemen on the show. Some of these guys I've known for a long time. Some I've just recently met, and others are infamous to the DMV world, and we are certainly excited. We like to run them down in alphabetical order. Starting first, this man resides in Pittsburgh, PA. He's been DJing since 2009, recently earning his title of DJ Battle Champion in the 2019 Goldie Awards, and that's presented by A-Track and Fool's Gold Records. Wow. He's a husband, a food lover, tequila drinker, and a cat dad. Let's give it up for ADMC!
Yeah. What's up, y'all? How you doing?
By the way, fun fact, ADMC is our sixth world champion to be on the show, maybe?
Ooh.
Including Buck Rogers. So we have like six world champions on the show.
Well, it's an honor to be here, guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about the new wave.
Yes, sir. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to be here with us. And We brought this gentleman all the way from the West Coast via this amazing app that we have. He's a three-decade DJ, Bay Area legend, DMS DJ editor. If you're a DJ and you don't have at least one edit or remix from this guy in your digital files, I don't know where you've been living. He is definitely a DJ's DJ. And just one of the nicest guys around in the DJ world, a great ambassador for the art form of DJing and for the love of it. Let's give it up for our brother, DJ Audio One.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
We're honored to have you. Busy schedule, guys, that you guys have made yourselves out to be. So we appreciate being able to work around your everybody's time schedules. No, especially when you're a few hours difference even at that point. So
definitely, man. Thank you.
And next up, this gentleman is a fast rising star in the DJ world. He is a podium finisher in the US Red Bull 3 Style Finals, has been featured on Sway in the Mornings, Sway Universe, Serato, DJ City, and more. He's co-founder and provides music for one of the nation's best comedy shows, The Overachiever Show, with showings at the Comedy Store in L.A. and the D.C. Improv, improv, and he's also had his production featured internationally via Apple Music and Selection Radio. You can find him on Twitch every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. He is our brother, former Beat Refinery instructor himself. Let's give it up for DJ Bo.
What's good?
What up,
DJ?
I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Well, thanks for being here with us, man. We missed all the times we've got to chop it up in person and at the schools, and just seeing your just kind of rise through and taking care of business has been great, man. I'm just super thankful to have you and see you on the show.
Likewise, man. You know, I was coming to you for like advice and everything, so you calling me for this is great.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We'll get into that later when we catch up more.
No doubt.
About your specific scenarios these days. But next up, we're going to take it a little bit down southwest. This artist has performed with and opened with Diplo, Z-Trip, Craze, Migos, Talib Kweli, 2018 Goldie Award, Beat Battle Champion, 2015 Red Bull 3-Style US Finalist. He has been all over the map doing what he does, this amazing live DJ producer performance hybrid. If you've been on the Twitch channels, you've seen some, probably, I think on his channel, I saw some of the very first things I've ever seen on Twitch from this gentleman, because he's just an innovator, always staying ahead of the game. Let's give it up for our man, DJ Buck Rogers. Thank you, man. Thanks for rejoining the show, man. We appreciate you being back around.
Privileged to be back. So thank you for the
interview. Yes. You have been certainly a hot topic on a lot of DJ boards and just conversations, not only for the skill and the artistry of the DJ, but also your artistry and for the visuals and just making your pages and just the things you're doing really innovative and just at the forefront. So thank you for that inspiration.
Oh, thank you guys for allowing me to do that. And the, you know, honestly, this pandemic as well is a blessing and a curse, but yeah. So
indeed. Indeed. Yeah. We will talk more about the blessings and curses. and last but not least on this panel, he is a pretty much a local legend in the DMV area, and similar to Audio One, a guy that, like, if you don't have at least one edit of his in your digital file library, I don't know where you've been the last 15 years or so, because he's certainly a DJ's DJ, an innovator, really a guy that I know personally as a marketing guy more than anything, in terms of like where his mind's at. It doesn't really matter if he's doing private events or if he's doing clubs, if he's doing this new pivot to Twitch or streaming. He's always been ahead, and somebody that I've known for a long time and have always personally seen how he innovates and tries to do something creative out of the ordinary of what other people are thinking, and really being able to implement that is a talent and a skill in itself. He's a stay-at-home dad these days, and he's making the best of it. I know he's about to be outnumbered by the children in the house, so it's time to start playing zone, as they say. And he is a part owner of Nightclub Living Room. Let's give it up for DJ Flips.
Yeah. What's up, guys? Flip. Happy to be back.
Yeah, well, we're...
Which really was part of our first episode, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
That was in my old, where I was set up before, when I was still on Facebook and Instagram live streaming.
The good old days, right?
Yeah. That's funny, because that's something, I'm glad that you said that, Flips, because that's actually something we wanted to kind of go around the room really quickly with all of our guests, and even Sean, just because of how much you've been live streaming, but... Flip, so start with you. Let's kind of walk us through your progression of when you started live, not necessarily when, but what platform you started live streaming on. What kind of platforms did you?
Even before the pandemic, if you.
Yeah, even if you were doing this before the pandemic, and then where did you kind of find yourself doing navigating multiple, and then now where are you at your final?
Okay.
Anyway.
So for me, I never live streamed before until like you know, the pandemic happened. And then I think one of my friends had texted me and was like, you should be doing what DJ D Nice is doing. Cause that's like after that first weekend when he like just blew up, and I was like, there's no way I can just even get anywhere close to that. But then I was like, you know what, let me just get on and play on Facebook and see what happens. Play on Instagram, see what happens. And the first, like I'd say the first week or two were just popping. But then I think, you know, obviously after a couple of weeks, like the shininess like starts to dull a little bit. I mean, you can kind of look at it just like kind of like how like throwing parties are, you know, at a club or like starting a new party. Everyone's going to be out, you know, that first like month or two. And then you got to really get back on it to like hustle to keep people coming back. So what happened with me is I wasn't really getting kicked off on Facebook. I think once I started trying to do more than what like I was just basically doing, that's when I started to get kicked off. And, you know, I would talk to Stylist Chris about this a lot, whether it was like trying to get better audio or doing overlays, introducing, instead of just going Facebook Live straight up, I would just, you know, people were talking about using OBS and like all that kind of stuff. So I started using OBS, and then all of a sudden I started getting kicked off like faster and faster and faster on Facebook. But then I think once people started talking about Twitch a lot more, then I started trying to do both. So that's when I got into Restream and trying to do at least Twitch and Facebook at the same time. And, you know, trying to keep up with both of those. And then at some point I just kind of realized, I mean, I think I was talking to Audio One and even Flipside, and they were kind of just like, you know, you just got to stick to one platform. And, you know, I like doing both just because I knew there wasn't going to be a lot of people from Facebook coming over to Twitch. A lot of people did, but the people that were on Facebook, I realized it was hurting my image with all the, getting stopped. All the, when people are watching, they're like excited. And then when you just get cut off out of nowhere, you know, that leaves a bad taste in their mouth, so to say. And, you know, you don't
get out of the club. The security guard just took them and pulled them out.
Yeah, and you know, they're watching your show, they're excited. Then the next time they see you on, they don't, you know, they could either be excited or they just like, you know, I don't know if he's going to get kicked off again just randomly, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think for me at some point, I was just like about a month ago, I was just like, you know what? I did all I could to try to get people to come over to Twitch. I built this like really solid following on Twitch. And you know what, let's just see what happens. I'll just post that I am on Twitch now when I am playing. And you know, I think Twitch has been definitely been the move, and I've been trying to tell other DJs to jump on, especially from our area, because, you know, to be honest, there's not that much East Coast DJs in comparison to like what's going on, say, Midwest and West Coast. I think I see a lot more on the Midwest and West Coast. And, you know, I try to tell DJs, like, just the hardest part, I'll talk about it on my shows too, the hardest part is just streaming, just getting on. But once you, like, start to get in a groove, you know, Neil Jackson was the one that told me too, like, just at least when you're getting in, just have a set time every day of the week. Or not necessarily every day of the week, but have a set time that you're going to be on, that people are going to know you're going to be on. And that way people will start looking forward to you doing those sets. And then once you obviously start to build, then you can like kind of break away from doing that stuff. But I mean, Twitch has definitely been the best move I've made, I think, just going only Twitch, sorry. Then, you know, I cut off Restream. I even paid for Restream. But you know what? You got to pay to play. I've always been, you know, Chris knows, I tell him all the time, you know, if you don't invest in yourself, why should people invest in you? So there's a lot of losses, you know, like I don't use Restream. That was $150, you know, for the year. I might use it for something, but, you know, I'm probably not going to use it anytime soon, because all I need to do is just go right into Twitch and, you know, you already get all the followers that, you know, you have now ready to watch and, you know, hang out.
At least you get the tax write-off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's a tax write-off. You know, that's exactly what it is. Like, that's what I tell people. At least I get to write it off.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, not only that, OBS now has restreaming services too built into it.
Oh, cool.
Streamlabs OBS, not the OG OBS.
Yeah, and we'll get more into the nooks and crannies as we go on. But Buck, since you're now into the conversation, give us kind of your streaming history.
So at first, I mean, it was Facebook just because, you know, that was the easiest one to do. But then, like, the kicked off problem, you know, that's one thing. Granted, I dig a little deeper and I look for, like, no name people that aren't in the algorithm that, you know, that would get flagged in a sense. But, you can only dig so much for that stuff. So you have to find a way to reinvent the wheel. And once I saw kind of like what Twitch was about, it took me a little while to understand. And I'm still learning stuff every day. Like, there's Discord and all types of other shit you can do, like, in between to, like, really engage and interact with your community. But
yeah. At
first, it was just a grind for me so I can become partner. And, like, I didn't really have a schedule. I'd literally do 9-hour marathon streams pretty much every day and just go through the emotions of the music and just go back to that day where we had to grind it out back in the day. Now it's digital grind and it's a little different, but now that it's monetized and, like, everything's where it needs to be, like, it's a blessing. Like, I've probably made about $3,000 this last month just off Twitch.
Ooh.
Yeah. But like I said, it's a grind. It's not just popping in for 2 hours. Like, I'm working 9 to 5 pretty much on Twitch So it's, right. You know, it's a little different, but at least I'm still getting to do what I want to do and enjoy doing what I do. And the visuals definitely help. But, I mean, honestly, I feel that scares a lot of people because it's just too much for them.
Dude, you get to do all that. And the bonus for me is you still get to poop in your own bathroom.
And, wow. Wow.
And you don't have management in your ear. You don't have that drunk bougie bitch.
Oh, my God. Will you play my song?
Like, yep.
You know, so. And then now with moderators and stuff, too. I mean, every now and again, I'll get some hecklers come in and stuff because, like, I have desensitized words and stuff like that you can't type. So they'll be like,
"In
one GGER." I'm like, "Oh, here comes a problem." And then, yeah, so it's just it's curious to see the trolls and how they come out of the woodworks. But nonetheless, that's why you have moderators, though. That's the good thing about Twitch too, because with the moderators and stuff, you don't have to worry about, like, going into the preferences and trying to figure out how to get rid of them and all that, and be like, "Yo, get them."
Ass
out.
Handle that.
It is awesome, moderators.
But you got to find ones that you trust too, though. Like, that's a challenge. I mean, a lot of the I only have two moderators that I personally know. And then I have about 3 or 4 others that have just been loyal since day one and just down for the grind. Anytime I'm on, they're on and they're supporting me and keeping it moving.
Oh, so you have to have a team.
Relationship between.
It really does take a team. This Twitch and the Twitch community is a whole different platform of people. They're not your everyday Facebook users. Like, the Twitch community are nerds. And they're there to see stuff that they don't see. And, like, with being a nerd, that means they also got that IT money and they're not afraid to throw them bits or show me your bitties, as I would say, and things like that. So it's, you know, yeah, it's just
I think that speaks to something really, really profound about what you were saying about the grind that really just goes into building up what you and Flips just both spoke about, that being on Twitch, knowing that there's other people at a certain tech, like, threshold, they're able to at least, if not know the songs, but, like, ride with you. And then they see a setup that's really interesting. Like, all right, yeah, I'm going to stick around for this. Where on Facebook, it's just kind of whoever happens to stumble across it. It was important for all of us to figure out where we were going. But the fact that you guys both really went in on Twitch and had people that were riding for the tech side and the nerdiness with you, that actually has, I think that speaks a lot to the community building side of it.
For sure. Yeah. And, like, musically, what's nice is, like, not having that club manager or owner in your ear. Like, I've been literally, my streams, I go everywhere. I need to dedicate a day, I feel, to, like, the different genre. But then again, how my brain works, I'm so, like, or, like, I'll read the chat and I'll just see little keywords. I'm like, ooh, let's go this way. Like, I'll be doing, like,
play drum and bass.
I'll go from, like, System of a Down, Disturbed, to drum and bass, from drum and bass to, like, fucking ballet funk all the way up to house, from house back down to, like, soul selections, like, just going everywhere, and I love it. It's been a blessing.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, worry about clearing the dance floor anymore.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, just bounce into the stream. Hopping is the best when you don't have to leave your couch.
I gotta say, Buck, man, your stream is, like, one of the most eclectic as far as, like, music selections. It's like it's dope as far as, like, you know, the technical you know, aspect of it, you know, I already know that you're dope at that, but like, woo, the selections that you've been doing on your stream, man, has been like, whoa.
I can't do that shit. There's so much music out there, man. And like, just to watch DJs play the same shit that we play in the club that we've been playing, and we're just drained out playing, like, find a edit of that song that freshens it up. Like, it's so, and like that, and the, also you get to avoid the analytics of, you know, the whole copyright stuff. So
yeah, I think what I've noticed, especially about Buck and also Audio One, is, you know, the what a lot of the general DJ population might call open format does not even really properly describe true music lovers. Guys, like, drum and bass is not in an open format conversation of what clubs would call open format, or or, you know, really Afro, like true Afro beat, or deep, really deep house, or, you know, the music that guys like us that come from a certain age group, especially, that just grew up on just music, just, you know, Audio One, you know, we talk about how you were, you know, 3 decades into music as a DJ. So that kind of comes into an area where if you were DJing, you just loved music so much of all kinds of different genres. And I think, you know, back to what Buck's saying about the grind, you are another one that I was glad that you said that I'm done at the, what was it, the 100 mark, when you were doing every day.
I ended up making 60 mixes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was just,
I forgot about that.
That was just brutal. When you talk about a grind of making a different mix every day for 2 months straight.
Guy, I know, man. As far as
In hindsight, I'm like, I was nuts, man. Those first 60 days, like, I don't know what the hell was.
We were living off pure adrenaline.
I don't know what it was. I mean, it's funny because today is a day 148. Because Northern California, we're still technically on lockdown. Like, nothing's open. Like, it's wow. Crazy, you know. Like, so yeah, my life is here. I mean, I do go outside if I, you know, or, you know, if I got to go take a walk or go get groceries. But like, they still want everybody inside. That's so.
Wow. And tell us about your stream's kind of livelihood. I mean, we were talking about that you started. What was the platform you were using first?
I used to stream years ago. I actually started back in 2002. I was on Live 365. Ooh. So that's like OG, like, you know, internet radio, 56.
Oh, you brought that back.
Hey, yeah. And then from that, I did drum and bass streaming on Shoutcast servers. So I did that for like a good 10 years. When I linked up with Enri back in 2008 for a Bezo, we did the Bezo battles on Ustream.
I remember those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we did that for a minute. 2015, I jumped on Twitch. My friend tried to get me to live stream on Twitch, and it was a very miserable fail. But luckily, I had the account.
Did you ever do Ustream before?
I did Ustream for about a year, mainly because of the Bezo battles we were throwing. But like, I didn't do it like every day or anything. But and then once the pandemic hit, actually for 2 years, my friends Hack and Panda, they're both gamers and DJs. They've been trying for the last 2 years to get me on Twitch. And I was so busy with gigs and life in general, I just never thought about it. And then just when the pandemic hit, I'm like, all right, what do we do now? You know what I'm saying? So it was perfect. So for me, I spent the first 2 weeks of the pandemic just studying the landscape, because I noticed everybody had jumped on Instagram really quick, and I just didn't like the way Instagram looked. My study, and I basically came up with, let's stream to Facebook and Twitch at the same time. So I did that for about 3 weeks, and then I became affiliate on Twitch. And at that moment, when I became affiliate, I dropped Facebook. And then it was crazy because, like Flips had said, it's basically building from the ground up. It was literally 4 or 5 viewers, and it was just building on it day by day by day. And I spent, you know, a good 3-4 months streaming about 4 or 5 days a week nonstop. So yeah, it's a grind, man. So yeah, definitely Facebook and Twitch, and then it's been Twitch full time ever since I became an affiliate with them.
That's dope. And yeah, we're gonna come back around and get deeper into your kind of story, because I think you and Flips are great, when a great, just true inspirational story for me of how you guys just like you said, you started your platform from zero, and just both kind of had the same mentality. Definitely kindred spirits, the two of you guys. Like, you both do a lot of the same kind of stuff, editing music. You're, you know, really innovative guys, and I like the way your guys' approach is to what you're doing, and how you're keeping it positive and what's going on, and not really complaining about what you don't have anymore, but focusing on the positives of what you do have. And that's something we can all learn from and gain from it in that sense. And then ADMC, you know, you're a guy that I remember one of the first times I saw you do a showcase, and I was just like, whoa, this guy is nuts. The skill level, the technical level is insane. And the few streams that I've caught of you, I saw you on Scratch Bastards Barbecue, and you were one of my favorite sets, I have to say. Just because I really truly love the way that you combine the musical flow and the format with the technical side, and it's really, I think, a really nice way to mix into, you know, this live streaming world where you're trying to do enough interesting stuff for the person that maybe just a casual viewer that wants to see a little bit more than just hear some music. You're doing enough visual stuff. There's a lot to engage in there. So tell us a little bit about your...
Real quick, Chris, before you ask anything, ADMC, what made you cut the hair?
There it is.
I knew this. I almost put this in my bio. but yeah, so yeah, so man, thank you so much again for having me on here, and I appreciate what you said. And yeah, I always like to hear, you know, an outside view of kind of what I'm doing, so I can kind of adjust and even focus on those kind of things a little bit more. But yeah, so I've been growing my hair now for maybe like 5 years, or maybe even six, to be honest. You know, before I even got into DJ battles and everything like that, I was growing my hair out. And I've gone everywhere from shaved head to, you know, hair down to here. And yeah, I just kind of let it go for the longest time. And then after a while, it just started to kind of, you know, be a part of my image when I started to come into battle DJing and doing videos on Instagram and getting more recognition that way. So it always just kind of was like of my vibe. And it was tough. I mean, it was definitely overdue. I wanted to cut it, actually. I told myself, actually, it was funny. I told myself if I went to the Goldies and did not win, I was going to cut my hair. So then I won, and I was like, I gotta keep it now. But that only lasted for maybe like six more months, and then I was like, you know what? It got hot outside. The pandemic happened. I was like, you know, it's just time. It was time to cut it off. I also didn't want to be known as the DJ with long hair. So I was like, I'm not going to keep this forever, so I might as well, you know, cut it all off and
any pressure
from wifey? Start fresh in this pandemic.
Yeah. Was there any pressure from wifey to cut it too?
Yeah, well, so yeah, it took me a while to convince her to let me do it Allie, wifey loved the long hair and she loved the beard and she loved me looking like a bum, basically. So I was just like, okay, and so I, you know, I started to, you know, really keep asking her about it, and you know, she said, you know, I'm down if you're down for it, as long as you don't hate it when you get done with it. She's the most supportive wife in the world, so you know, she was gonna love it no matter what. But that
shout
just gave
Allie.
Me when she, well, yeah, shout out Allie. But when she said, yeah, go for it, I was like, I'm ready to cut it off. So I went to the barber shop, they cut it off, and then they swept it in the little suction thing, and that was it.
You should have live streamed it like Flipside did.
Yo, I actually was thinking about like live streaming it, but
you might have broke the internet with that one. I'm not gonna front.
Right. You know, I need to get better. To be honest, too, not even like streaming, but I need to get better at just creating content and putting it on social media. Because I'm kind of a private introvert. So, you know, putting things out there, it's kind of tough for me. So I need to get better at that. So I definitely should have live streamed it. You know, I probably would have got a lot of eyes on it, but it is what it is.
Well, along with the evolution of streaming and kind of coming back to that, you say that you're not as good as putting out as much content as you would say in comparison to other people. But I have to say, one of the things that you stand out as in my eyes, and I've heard other DJs say the same thing, is kind of redefining and representing the way that everybody understands quick mixing. Buck is making me go crazy. It's so funny.
Do you guys want to see a preview of Buck? That's basically it.
That's what I look like without any hair.
There we go. Man, ADMC, so did you do any streaming prior to doing the Twitch thing all in, or was it just kind of like, I'm gonna post up the video routines that you were known for?
Yeah, so it was definitely just putting up the video routines, because Instagram was definitely my friend through gaining recognition, as well, along with Facebook. Facebook is actually my main, the majority of people who see what I do is on Facebook. So I was always putting up little quick mix 60-second videos, you know, before the pandemic started and all that. So that was where I started. And it's funny because I had a conversation with a buddy of mine about Twitch probably a year before the lockdown happened. And he told me it'd be a good idea. He told me that there was, you know, it was easy for your viewers to support in those ways. And he just thought that it'd be a great kind of segue into what I was doing in Pittsburgh, what I was doing on Instagram, and then also doing it on Twitch too. And I talked to him about it, and I actually looked into it, and then I realized that it was super hard to get started. And at that time, I was getting ready for Goldies. I was getting ready for Red Bull. I was getting ready. I was just busy.
Life was happening.
Yeah, life was happening. So I wasn't ready to dive into that world. So when the pandemic started and Instagram fell to the wayside, that's definitely when I started looking at Twitch in a more serious way.
Got you. Well, it seems like it's been very fruitful since then. And even though coming from Facebook, like just about everybody else on here, and then making that transition, it's interesting that I haven't heard anybody else really mention Instagram. One of the things that I noticed, and Bo, you and I had this conversation before about, along with what Buck was saying about finding the rare grooves and the rare gems to play. I first noticed you, Bo, doing live streams on Instagram Live. So anybody else that like really committed to Instagram at all for a bit?
I did for a little bit, but
like the only thing I'm 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I just like Instagram automatically keeps you on a timer.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good thing and a bad thing. It's like there's times you can get into the groove and then it cuts you off. It's like, but then there's also times where it just keeps you in check and on a timeline, and you can, you know, you don't have to worry about doing that overtime. But
it was a little better like early on, like prior to like the pandemic, because like once a lot of DJs started coming on there, they were a little bit more like aggressive with the copyrights. But prior to that,
and they cut the bit rate, because since it was being overloaded,
right.
The quality of the video wasn't as good.
Yeah, the quality was always like not even close to what Twitch is.
So how long before the pandemic did you start doing the Instagram Live thing then, Bo?
I started around late January, February. Because I had a video that went viral, and a lot of the people that kind of got exposed to it were just like pressing me to do some sets. So I figured I'd just hop on, just play for them. And I'll get like a good amount of people like tuning in. But once like the whole D-Nice thing happened, like every DJ was on there. And for some odd reason, like my numbers started falling as well. So I'm like, well, Instagram's not really... I don't really like how it looks. I don't like how it sounds. Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to just kind of fall back everything. On it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're nerdy to the point like us, like it didn't cut it as well.
Yeah. I was like, man, putting all this effort for what? And you can't even make money from it. So I'm like, well, I'm going to just fall back. But then a couple homies were like pressing me to come to Twitch. Then I listened to Audio One actually. I think it was on the Road podcast. He was, I think it was him, Zach, just kind of dropping game on it, like how beneficial Twitch could be. And I looked into it, spent a lot of time with the YouTube videos, you know, just like tutorials here and there.
We all do.
Yeah, finally just dived into it.
Before we had YouTube.
YouTube University, man.
YouTube University. Man, yeah, I don't know what I would do. I learned how to DJ from YouTube. It's crazy.
Same.
Same here, man.
Yeah.
No shame in that.
Well, no, not at all.
I actually did a party for Twitch like 3 years ago and never really even took advantage of it then. But now I've actually been on because their streaming service is Pretzel for music. So the homies that made Monster hit me up and he runs all that stuff. But yeah, it's funny how long I've been involved with Twitch, but didn't really start using Twitch until this whole pandemic.
Wow.
That's wild.
I mean, I think for all of us, things just kind of like it played out the way it needed to play out. Also, as far as Twitch goes. But
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how I ended up on Twitch.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
No, I'm just saying, now I'm seeing articles where Bezos isn't going to pay for the copyrights. I'll send you the link so we can post those with this as well. But
yeah, I would love to get that.
Yeah, that's the big billion dollar question, I guess. What's going to happen? It's a gray area, and you know, once people realized that Twitch was owned by Amazon, they started to feel like, oh, well, they've got Amazon Prime, so that must mean they're going to tie it in. Yeah. But it's still not clear how that all is going to work. So, you know, it's
possible they might not even completely go that direction. They might just make Twitch do what Twitch does because they were already established when Jeff Bezos decided to come in on that. And it really has created its own world. So I feel like that's actually a good kind of segue into Audio One. You inspired this question for me. And the fact that we've got all of these well-established, long resume DJs on here, and you were talking about how Twitch was an early fail for you. Can everybody go around? Let's start with Audio One and work our way through it. Can we get a piece of Twitch etiquette that other DJs should keep in mind on the platform while they're DJing? Or in general?
It's funny. I just did a podcast like 2 weeks ago on all Twitch etiquette.
Exactly.
Honestly, I think one of the most important ones is basically to always raid out, to always hand off your audience to the next channel or to another channel. Myself and other streamers that are DJs, we've been making it a habit to find streamers that have very low numbers, but we know that are really dope, to hand them the audience. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the ball, run with it. You know what I mean? And a lot of times it works because it's the shine that they needed. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Really cool. So we find just raiding out every time that you're done with your set instead of just cutting it off. I know a lot of DJs still cut off their streams, which I feel is a missed opportunity, especially when you have, you know, hundreds of people actually actively viewing your channel right now. And I feel like another thing, it's don't tell people where you're going to rate, you know, just they have to trust you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, trust where the rate is going, like trust your streamer. We're not going to lead you astray, you know? So, but yeah, I think that's one of the more important ones for me, I feel.
Keep the raid train going. And I got to say thank you as well, because the reason I hit affiliate is because Audio One raided me when I was like right on the line. So thank you, sir.
Nice. Not a worry.
And that's what I noticed, like on ADMC this past week, and he was on before Buck, and they basically raided Buck's stream. But I think
Buck rated me previously.
And then I got back on.
Flip, you were telling me you that's how you got your numbers up, because you got raided by a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like any other business, or like. You still have to like go out and you know, I guess be in the streams. Like if you're just going on and DJing and then not going on Twitch at all after that, then that's not part that you're not gonna win. Like, to be honest, unless like you're already a big name, like a Jazzy Jeff, like he doesn't have to like really go into the chats and say what's up to people.
Yeah.
But like, you know, but for us, for us noobs on Twitch. Like part of the fun of Twitch too is going into the chats and saying what's up to like DJs. You know, I think another big thing is this is like you would never have had access to DJs like how it is right now on Twitch.
Not even close, man.
Like the fact that you can like I was just saying to like friends, I was like, the only time you could say, I'll just use Fade, Five and Eric Deluxe or Vice or, you know, or even Buck Rogers, for instance, like you could ask them to like give you a shout out at a club and they'd just look at you like, you know, you'd be like, dude, I'm DJing right now. But now you just go and hop in their Twitch chat and you're automatically getting a shout out if you just say what's up to them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And they're all taught, you know, we're all, you know, on a lower end. I mean, I don't want to put myself on a lower end, but like, I love being able to interact with people. Obviously in person's great, but now that like, you know, you can, is that me? What was that?
My inners are hurting right now.
I know. I don't know. I don't think that was me. But the fact that like, yeah, the interaction has been awesome. Being able to say what's up to DJs that like maybe you only knew through Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and now like you're able to say what's up to them, listen to their sets live. I brought up Five and Eric Deluxe, Buck Rogers, etc. Because you would have to go to a city or just watch them play, right? To just watch them play, like, anytime. Now you get to see them play, like, 3-4 times a week sometimes, if not more. And then they get to play whatever they want and not, like, maybe sometimes some DJs will do, like, pre-planned sets, like, when they go from city to city because it's always a new crowd.
Right.
But now we're all putting in that work to try to change it up all the time. And, you know, like I said, to be able to see like those bigger DJs that I would love to see, like when I was in Vegas. Being able to play what they want is amazing. But yeah, I would say being just part of the fun is being in the chat rooms and just talking to other DJs and talking to the DJs you're listening to. All those little things make a difference, especially on Twitch. You're building a great following other DJs and people. So, am I the one echoing, or is someone?
I think it's echoing, and Buck. I think it's echoing.
Okay,
to yours.
It's coming from you.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that.
But yeah, like I said, it's all part of the hustle of just like in real life DJing. Like unless you've built all your name like through battles, like some of the other guys in here, part of it is going out and just saying what's up. And you know, I love that Audio One, like even when he's not working, he's moderating on other people's channels. DJ Scene, DJ Heavy, like that's another way to build your following too, is because you know this DJ Heavy, DJ Scene trust Audio One, you know, it's like little things like that make a difference with people that are going to follow you even more, like on Twitch.
Really like a pay it forward perspective. I love that. And for anybody who doesn't know, outside of the DMV, Flips is the master at just saying hi to everybody whenever he's not working. Or even like, I've seen you go through like on nights that I know you're not working at like shared residence that we have. Just
he's going by
showing love. Throwing it up for everybody.
Well, how many shots has he had?
Oh yeah,
he knows he's good for like 2 free drinks from every club that he goes to. So he just like pops them.
Everyone, you know, if you're in the industry, you know you can show up and get at least 1 to 2 drinks. If you work if you work at a place or know someone who's working there. But then by the time you like leave the third or fourth place, you're like done. You're like
game over.
Like, oh wait, Flips, you're off tonight. Do I owe you a check? And you're like,
That was like the only time I would actually really go out too, is like if I knew someone owed me a check.
Right.
Once I was done with an early gig, like a happy hour gig, or like when at the W, I'd be done at like 12 or something. And then I was like, all right, who owes me money, or who do I want to say what's up to? Because I got 2 hours to make happen.
Check.
Yeah, sounds good, Buck.
This is a good segue to go into, like, you know, like as Flips was saying, Audio One is doing a lot of stuff even when he's not streaming. He's basically like on everybody's like, you know, chats or streams, just supporting. But let me ask you guys this: like, what is the most important thing about like keeping the audience engaged? Are the audience coming in there for your personality and your conversations, your chat, or are they really there for the music?
or, I'll comment on that.
Things are combination of all of it.
Combination.
Yeah. Combination for sure. Well, one thing I wanted to comment on the last topic real quick is just like making your rounds on Twitch. And you might have said this because I heard you like going to collect a check and stuff like that. But making your rounds on Twitch is just no different than the grind we used to do back in the day where you club hopped locally, show up, pay your dues, take your shot, say what up, put your face in the place, on in the next. And then networking. Go home. It's the same deal. Now we don't even have to leave our house. That's the best part about it. So like, just wanted to throw that out there real quick. And as far as the Twitch community and as far as engaging, it's a whole different animal than like Facebook and Instagram, because like people are there for you to engage with them more. And like, I feel the more interaction you give them, the more like live it makes your stream in a sense, other than someone just sitting back playing tunes, you know, not really engaged. Like, because it makes them feel a part of what it is you're doing when you engage with the audience that you have, especially for those that are constantly keeping your chat alive. Like, you always want to engage with them, give them love, show them shout outs. Like, that's where a lot of my moderators come from, because I'll see them all day, every day, just loyal. Oh shit, Buck's on, gotta go, bye. And they pop in my stream and they've just been loyal.
Well, so what's the percentage of, like, you know, all the new followers you accumulate on Twitch? What do you think is the percentage of, like, really, like, new fans, you know, and instead of, like, you know, like your current fan?
Nah, I've built a fan base all over the world now to when this pandemic shit's over, they're ready to come to me or, like, ready to bring me to them. Like, and I never would have had that opportunity. Like, I got Japan, Brazil, UK. I mean, 'cause I'm on such odd hours at that. Like, it's noon in Australia by the time I'm on at 5-6 in the morning here. So like, but no, like the fan base that I've built just off the Twitch community now is like amazing, because it's a fan base I never had before, because I've never had the chance to, you know, to get booked there or whatever it is in that area, or, you know, my video hasn't quite made it to that region based off analytics. So it's like, it's a blessing.
That's dope, man. I love to hear that. You know, guys that are already well established and they're looking at this as a next springboard just to get to the next level. I mean, it's incredible. I think the thing that I've really realized through all this is how the game was moving in a certain direction, and we've had this cataclysmic kind of pivot into it, or an indentation to it, and who's rising out of that, or who's either falling off and not even being known from, or just kind of stuck in the weeds of it all, or the guys that have like really used it to implement a whole new, you know, living in to some degree, a whole new way to do their art is really amazing. And I think it's going to be interesting in how we look back at this maybe years from now, and what is this. Has this, you know, I think with Serato, it allowed for a ton more people to get introduced into becoming a DJ. The entry level became so much lower because you could get the equipment cheaper and you could get the music, and which is, it's good for the overall society that we had that. But then the interesting thing about this Corona COVID situation is that it's actually almost made it more difficult, because there's not the ability for guys to just go out to their local venue and get a gig. So it's really almost made it smaller again. And the guys that are winning are the guys that either have a big name and have established themselves, or have learned how to use this time to create a platform for themselves, which is really interesting. It's a unique way to look. The whole business has changed. I think DJ Scene put a tweet out last week that got a lot of love in the DJ world of, like, he had ranked like the biggest three things that have happened to DJing, and, you know, without going too far into it, he was like COVID, Serato, EDM. You know, I know Sean and I both were like, well, it's not really Serato, it's more like the MP3, the digital file. But like, this is definitely one of the biggest changes to the industry that we've ever seen.
Most definitely.
We'll ever see, you know. Yeah.
While it is, I want to kind of expand on that real quick, and then I want to jump back in and hear ADMC and Bo's thoughts on the previous question. But I think that the way you can really look at what's happened with COVID, it's like if you were in a boxing match, you got punched in the face, our entire industry has been rocked by it, everybody's kind of staggering for a quick second. But then if you get knocked out in that fight, what do you do next? Do you stay on the ground and say, I'm not really worried about this, is kind of grind, it was a lot of work anyway, or do you just get back in the gym? And that's me, is what live streaming feels like. And now essentially we're all living in the gym. And yeah, every day, I mean, I do a stream on Tuesdays, I do one on Thursdays, I do one on Fridays. And what I told myself at the beginning is, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not going to lose any of the work that I've gotten this far to build up. And I want to make sure that I can absolutely stay sharp, because for every person like me who's got a bunch of gigs, there's somebody who doesn't have any, and all they do is stay in their room just practicing them chirps all day. So if I'm not keeping it up, then who knows? I might lose my spot to that guy who's really working out in the gym every single time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess to that previous question, though, as far as the personality versus the musicality, ADMC, well, let's jump in with that question for you. Is do you feel like your personality and your long, once flowing hair was the reason people stuck around in the chat? Or do you feel like it was the way that you're presenting the songs? Because you've got a really specific quick mix style that I think you're really well known for that.
So, yeah, so I was going to comment. Yeah, the two parts. To answer your question, I originally had thought that, yeah, people were coming for the music, but then also, yeah, people were coming for, you know, the personality, the talking and the image or the look or whatever. But to be honest, what I've realized is it's more for my community. It's more about the music, I think. Every community is a little different. But for me, I've noticed that once I cut my hair and I changed up my look a little bit, and I was never really big in, you know, talking on the microphone and chatting with, you know, the people who are watching me. I've gotten better at it now, and I do that now, and I think it does help. But for me, I think they just want to turn on my channel and maybe not necessarily, you know, stay there and watch the whole time, but just have some music on in the background. I feel like it's like a 70-30 kind of thing, because 30% of my chat is definitely there to talk. They're there to talk to my wife as well, and she interacts with them. And so, yeah, so we've built, not that we've built a huge community at my channel, but it's a really strong community. So, you know, I definitely have at least 30 to 40 people in there who are engaging and chatting with us. And, you know, some of them we know, some of them we don't. And then the more people we get in there, the more we try to make them laugh and connect with us as well. But to that other, to the other point, about just Twitch in general, and once all these DJs started to migrate over to it, I remember getting on Instagram whenever that wave was happening about everybody live streaming. And when I would get on, I would see, you know, 20 red bubbles pop up saying, you know,
it's a live icon.
It's crazy to me that those DJs are, or the majority of DJs right now, have not made that switch to Twitch, because it's almost like a no-brainer, to be honest. It's work, but it surprised me that the DJs who were doing the live streams on Instagram were not coming over. And to your point, it's crazy, because there are only a handful of DJs in the world right now that are streaming. And I think that what you had spoke on before this is, you know, when this is over, that handful of DJs are going to be at the top of the list for club promoters, party promoters, and things of that nature when things open back up. So I think it's essential not only to keep your chops up, not only to keep, you know, DJing almost every day, but it's definitely a tool that is going to help you in the future when this does clear up. And, you know, whether these DJs keep streaming or not, they're definitely building their presence, whether they know it or not, just by doing this and keeping it consistent as well.
I think it's your breadsticks.
It might be the breadstick.
You definitely gotta have a breadstick branded party.
I might embarrass my wife, but she, before we met, her favorite restaurant was Olive Garden.
Oh,
I had to show her a little bit better food.
Well, the breadsticks that you had sea sauce, and that was not Olive Garden.
Actually, it was, man.
They don't have cheese sauce at Olive Garden.
Yo, that's dip. That's the garlic butter dip.
Ah, see, you got me confused. I thought it was cheese sauce, and you got me all excited.
Not cheese sauce, no. Hey, I still like the breadstick.
It must be a Midwest thing.
Red Lobster. Yeah.
Red Lobster, we talk about that, too.
Now we talking biscuits, son. Cheddar baked biscuits.
Cheddar biscuits in that life. What?
So, yeah, so we do the when you're here, your family kind of deal over at my channel at the Olive Garden. Unlimited breadsticks for the chat.
Nice. I feel like if somebody wasn't already convinced to check this out, they are completely roped in.
For all the people that's listening to the audio podcast, man, you gotta watch the video, man, the live stream right now, because like Buck Rogers, man, he's been hilarious with his like screen right now.
Master with the filters.
I just want to know how he's doing it though.
Cheesy poofs. Cheesy poofs.
But, hate to interrupt the conversation, but we're almost done with this episode.
Yeah.
We do have students tuning into this podcast, so we always like to teach them a few tips and tricks to this DJ game. So we're going to end off the show with DJ Azwan's DJ tip of the week. So, Art, take it away.
Oh, right. Let's do a quick screen share. Host disabled screen share.
Oh, hold on.
Disabled screen share for me, host.
There you go. I got you.
Sweet. All right, guys. So, wait, what are we calling this? Can you tell us the name of this tip? I forgot the name of it.
So we're using screenshots to capture live moments with AS1.
Screenshots to capture live moments, guys. So this was a cool technique taught to me by Chris Carnes, everybody. So DJ Vibe.
Chris Carnes.
This was like maybe 2014-15. We were hanging out, and he basically told me, hey, man, you should just screenshot this stuff to basically save your ideas. So to make a long story short, guys, if you're in the Mac world, on Mac OS, I believe it is Command-Shift-3. Yep. And that is what you call a shortcut, keyboard shortcut to do a screenshot. And what in the PC world, we were trying to figure this out. I know there's a print screen button. You might want to check that out if you're on Windows, how to do a screenshot. But I know that that's super easy to do. So at this point, like I said, I have a folder right here called screenshots. This is probably screenshots built over the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or so. And some of these things I can utilize for different things. So when I'm DJing, a lot of times I'm mixing live and I'm just kind of in the vibe, feeling the moment. And usually as soon as I have that moment of joy or something that tickles me and I go, oh, wow, that was cool, I hit Command-Shift-3. And what that does is takes a screenshot of everything happening on my Serato screen. Everything in terms of, you know, I get to see the key of the songs, the BPMs. I get to see what I did, how I pushed these to the center. One was at 95, one was at 100. I get to see all the timestamps. So if you need to look back, this is the exact moment in time where I felt joy about this mix. I can go back and either utilize these for blends later, remixes, or, you know, just ideas for mixes if you're trying to build up mixes and stuff. And I'll go through a couple of these just to show you guys. Thank you. Oh yeah, some other crap. There you go. You know, just lots of cool stuff there, guys. And like I said, I've even taken a lot of these ideas, and I'll take these two songs or something, I'll throw them into, say, Serato Studio or something like that, and start working from there, start remixing and building tracks, either add new elements or not. But it's a great way to kind of go back to a moment in time where you thought, wow, that was really cool. And, you know, if you're like me, you're going to forget. You're going to forget the next day what the hell that moment was. So,
yeah.
Word.
There you go.
That was a good tip.
Nice. Funny.
Thank you. Wait, that's one.
Did you know that if you do Command-Shift-4, you can actually resize too? Just one, just
pick the part of like the screen that you want.
Yeah, that's just an add-on to the Command-Shift-3.
Okay.
So if you just want to like take a picture of like this square of 9 people, you can just do that with Command-Shift-4.
Plug. Oh, so Command Shift 4 takes a screenshot of the current open window, like everything in the window, whatever that program is.
No, 4, you can actually make your own size. You can crop whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All dope.
Yeah, just another add on to that.
Whoa. Thanks, AS1, for the DJ tip of the week, and thanks for the addendum.
Jumped in.
But that's going to do it for us. For now, for part one of this episode, we are definitely going to talk more about DJs on Twitch, get into more of the nerdy ins and outs, and even ask the most important question, can DJs make a significant amount of income on Twitch? On that note, congrats, by the way, to Audio One for making DJ art.
Audio
One.
Yeah! Yes! Audio One!
So we'll talk to him more about that on the next show. We'll be back here next week with part two, along with the same group of guys here on this panel next Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and continue the conversation with them. If you missed the show, you can watch the replay of any of our past shows on Facebook.com/BeatRefinery or YouTube.com/BeatRefinery. If you prefer to listen to the audio side of things, this episode will be uploaded this Thursday to Apple, Spotify, Mixcloud, wherever you consume and listen to all things podcast. So be sure to subscribe, comment, and rate us. We always appreciate the love and support from you guys. Again, this show is brought to you by Beat Refinery, DJ School at Bach to Rock. Learn how to mix, scratch, and make music by visiting beatrefinery.com. Again, we have locations nationwide across the U.S. of A. So once again, thank you for everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next week. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Howdy ho.